on Annenberg Radio News.
I knew what I did have, and that was a faith in the justice of our cause.
We'll hear from an actor who has more than just looks in common with Cesar Chavez. Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Thursday, March 31st, 2011. I'm Megan Dickey. The LA Dodgers opened the 2011 season this evening at Dodger Stadium. Right now, hundreds of loyal fans are shuffling for pregame festivities. Jessica Flores reports on what's in store for the team this year.
In the kickoff game, the Dodgers face last year's world champs, the San Francisco Giants. The team starts the new season with ownership in limbo. Frank and Jamie McCourt, the now divorced couple that owns the Dodgers, are still fighting in the courts over who owns the team. Pedro Moyer, a writer for ESPN LA, says many are worried the McCourt's battle will weaken the Dodger spirit.
You got to wonder in times like these whether it's, you know, the ownership situation is affecting the team. Something you don't want to affect the playing field if you're a sports fan. And it looks like right now the ownership situation is affecting the playing field for the Dodgers. So that's never a good thing.
Team officials say not to worry. Things can't get much worse, can they? The Dodgers have already gone 22 seasons without winning a National League title. That's the longest streak in the franchise's history. But on the bright side, there's more food choices this year. Fans can enjoy the Doyer Dog. The name comes from the Spanish way of saying Dodgers. The Camacho's food stand is offering the Doyer Dog served with chili, nacho cheese, chopped tomatoes, onions, and jalapenos. Mmm, sounds delicious. Jessica Flores, Annenberg Radio News.
USC announced today the university will break ground Monday for a new student health center. Trustee and alumna of the university, Michelle Engeman, and her husband Roger donated $15 million for the center. It will be named after the couple. The university received another large donation today. David Iben and his wife Nancy donated $750,000 to the Marshall School of Business. The money will provide initial funding for the Graduate Student Managed Global Equity Fund. The fund launched today. It's administered entirely by students. People probably know food trucks are booming in Los Angeles. Soon, an entire festival will be devoted to them. Stephanie McNeil has more.
Food trucks are everywhere these days, providing Angelenos with a good meal on the go on almost every corner. But local event coordinator Philip Dane saw these trucks as a great business opportunity.
So if you have 40 trucks and each one's got 2,500 people following them on Twitter, it's almost a no-brainer to get them all involved.
Dane had the idea for Truck It Fest, a monthly gathering of food trucks where locals could come and sample all the tasty food in one place. As soon as he started advertising, he knew he was onto something.
I've got more truck applications than I do space for trucks, let's put it that way. So I kind of get the pick of the litter as far as who I want to participate at the Truck It Fest.
The inaugural fest was held on March 6th at Union Station, and charged $5 for admission. In addition to the trucks, the fest featured live bands, DJs, and craftspeople selling their goods. Over 5,000 people attended. Danny Kim of the Crazy Barbecue Truck says he saw big gains from participating.
Oh, it was better than normal day, of course.
Soap vendor Lily Baca says even though her soaps weren't the main attraction, she is already seeing benefits from participating in the fest.
I've had opportunities pop up because my product is on the website, so I'm getting a lot of exposure as a vendor.
Dane says he hopes people see the Truck It Fest as a new, fun way to spend their weekend.
You go in, you can listen to four different bands, you can walk around Union Station, which is beautiful. Since you have a wristband, you're not locked into the place. You can actually walk across the street and go to walk through downtown and then come back, and you can actually eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner there if you really wanted to.
The next Truck It Fest is scheduled for April 3rd, and Dane says he is planning on having them until at least 2012. Stephanie McNeil, Annenberg Radio News.
A pocket park is a small park filled with wildlife and nature walks, and now there is one in South Los Angeles. Smitha Bondade dug out the story when she attended the grand opening today.
The 9th District is one of the most populous areas of L.A., one not usually associated with wildlife and marshlands, but now it will be with the opening of a wetlands pocket park. Councilwoman Jan Perry leads the way.
It was covered with asphalt and barbed wire and truck and machine parts, and it was just pretty ugly. But with a little creativity, some tenacity, and community support, well, this is where we are now.
The 9-acre wetlands park is built on the site of a former MTA bus yard. 7th grade students of Celerity Dyad Charter School, who live a mere mile from the park, were at the opening. Ricardo Gallo piped up with his plans for the park.
Well, at this park, I'm probably going to bring my friends so we could play football or, like, if we could do activities together.
One of the residents of the community, Janae Oliver, has lived here for over 30 years.
The ability to walk around. My aunt is an avid walker. She walks every single day. So now she can come right here to this park and walk here. So I feel like the spirit of this community is back.
The park is one of the first projects set up around Los Angeles in conjunction with Proposition O, a clean water bond program. Its mission is to clean up pollution, protect the public health, and maintain beaches and oceans free of litter in accordance with the Federal Clean Water Act. It is funded by Propositions 12 and 40. Gary Lee Moore works at the Bureau of Engineering and describes one of the park's innovative and green features.
And these lights, you don't see any wires. You don't see any wires underground. I know you can't see that, but you also don't see any overhead. And that's because they're all solar powered.
While there is still much work to do on the project, Perry says this $26 million project will be open by early next year. Smith Obundade, Annenberg Radio News.
Time to whip out those Stunna shades because today is a wonderfully sunny day. Highs from the mid-80s to, wait for it, the 90s. Hello, heat wave. And if you're looking for a night out on the town, tonight is the night for clear skies. And those clear skies are going to roll right into Friday for another sunny day. Highs in the upper 60s and 70s, and come Friday night, it's going to cool down a little bit, with lows in the mid to upper 50s, and it will be partly cloudy with some fog. And that fog is going to roll right into Saturday, but it's going to be low clouds in the morning, but daytime temps, clouds, and fogs in the morning are in the lower to mid 60s. I'm sorry about that. Little typo. And later on Annenberg Radio News, a pianist engineer explores the relationship among music, mathematics, and technology. Ten states are celebrating Cesar Chavez Day today. It's a holiday commemorating the birthday of the founder of the United Farm Workers Union. Stephanie Frischberg found out how students at Compton's El Camino College remembered the late hero.
La unión hace la fuerza. In unity, there is strength. Those were the words on the sign hanging in the student center at Compton's El Camino College today. Dozens of students and faculty gathered to pay tribute to the man who spent his life fighting for social justice. Cesar Chavez fought against low wages, poor housing, and sickness from pesticides that Mexican and Filipino-American migrant workers endured. Starting in the 60s, he led massive protests and boycotts. Millions of people refused to buy grapes. He went to jail for his actions and once fasted for 46 days. He's a civil rights icon for many around the country, including Gladys Sales.
I actually relate with his struggle because my grandpa actually came to work to Arizona when all this was going on. He actually was part of the struggle too. He actually worked with them and stuff, and that's how my mom came to this country.
It's a holiday in 10 states, and while many are celebrating today, few had what El Camino College did. An actor who talked as if he was Cesar Chavez for 45 minutes straight.
I knew what I did have, and that was a faith in the justice of our cause, a belief that the treatment of workers, the condition of labor, and in this case the farm worker, was unjust and immoral. What I didn't know was the hell that it was going to be to organize a union.
Roberto Alcatraz had the same graying hair parted to the side, the same kind eyes, and he even wore the same type of flannel shirt Chavez was known for wearing. He looked like Cesar Chavez.
Those who oppose our cause are rich and powerful, and they have many allies in high places. We are poor. Our allies are few. But we have something that the rich do not own. We have our bodies and our spirits and the justice of our cause as our weapons. When we are really honest with ourselves, brothers and sisters, we must admit that our lives are all that we really have.
Cesar Chavez died almost 20 years ago in 1993, leaving a void for many who saw him as a hero for the voiceless. But at this celebration, students like Gladys Sales said they got a glimpse of what it might have been like to see Chavez speak.
I actually thought like I was seeing Cesar Chavez talking in front of me, you know?
The social justice Chavez fought for also inspired the actor to write a song. Before he slipped out of the celebration, for a moment he broke character to sing it. And it was one of those moments that brought to life the legacy of Cesar Chavez.
Brought to life by sweat and stone. And the earth knows their name, La Tierra.
Stephanie Frischberg, Annenberg Radio News.
A collaboration between neuroscientists and a composer shows that the instrumental music of British and French composers reflects the rhythm and intonation of their native languages. I spoke with pianist engineer Elaine Chu about music as a mathematical language. Chu is joining a composer and a computer scientist tonight for a live performance and discussion at USC.
They found that the music of British English composers and the music of French composers from a particular period where composers were being very nationalistic, that the music that they wrote reflected the intonation patterns and duration patterns of the language, that their mother tongue, the language that they spoke. The difference between them is that English is considered a stress time language. So basically the stresses in the sentences when we speak English tend to be approximately equally spaced. So it's like da 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 da. So these are the stresses. And French is a syllable time language. As French, Spanish, a lot of these languages are languages where the syllables tend to be equally spaced in time. So da 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 da. So sort of like a pattering of sounds.
Yeah, and so could you tell me exactly how the worlds of technology, music, and art really converge?
So technology, the language of technology is mathematics, and the language of music is, well, I guess many people consider music itself a language, but music can also be expressed mathematically. So underlying both of these things is are the mathematical principles that holds everything together. With these results, what Alex Francois did was, he's a computer scientist who does interactive applications. He created an application that would allow you to visualize and see data points in this in the durational contrast and melodic contrast space for different melodies. And for each of these melodies, you can click on it, you can select them, and what the computer program does is it uses a genetic algorithm to then generate other melodies that are like it. So this becomes a tool to generate other melodies in the same kind of style.
Okay. A little bit more about the show tonight. Mm-hmm. So what exactly are you guys trying to do with the show? Are you just trying to inform the public?
Yes. Well, we are trying to inform the public of the benefits of using scientific and a scientific approach to the study of music. So many things today are we start throwing the latest scientific technologies at them to try to help us understand them and further advance what we know about medicine, about economics, about earthquakes. Well, you know, music is also a stream of data, just like any of these other fields. And so we can definitely also use these kinds of scientific methodologies to systematically study music and try to explain what it is.
And so how would you explain music? Like, what is music?
Oh, what is music? Well, at the most basic level, it's a stream of sounds. But maybe music is more than that, because when we experience it, we we interpret it and turn it into something else that's meaningful to us.
That's Elaine Chu. You can check out the live performance at 7:30 at the Alfred Newman Recital Hall on the USC campus. Tomorrow is April Fool's Day. While you guys are preparing your pranks out there, here are some pulled on others for inspiration.
The prank was definitely pulled on me. It was my freshman year in college, and my roommate took all of my clothes. I had no idea who took, and it was like midnight, and I was like, okay, you guys, I'm going to call the police. I'm done. Like, at this point, it is theft. I'm over it. Like, and then my roommate, she popped her head in at midnight and was like, Sarah, I took your clothes. Hey, or happy April Fool's Day or something like that. So
my sister woke me up on March 29th and said it was April Fool's Day and get up. And I went to school and pulled a bunch of pranks on people, and they asked me if I was practicing for April Fool's, and I was really confused when they asked me that.
I typed up this whole long letter that was supposedly from my high school, and I put it in the mail and I postaged it and everything, and it looked really official, and the whole letter said that I was expelled from my high school. And when my mom opened it, I was right in front of her, and she just had this total look of horror on her face, and I'm pretty sure she believed it.
I think I stayed behind a chair for about 5 minutes just waiting, because I knew my friend was going to come along. And you want to take over?
Yeah, we just finished watching The Ring. So I was really scared of the fact that, you know, some little girl's just going to come up and, you know, kill me and take my soul or something. So what happened was that I went to the living room, I sat down, and I suddenly feel like these cold hands grab me and just grasp my body. And I literally just screamed like a little girl.
Our reporter Stephanie Guzman found those pranksters and prank victims. Cheers to your successful pranks tomorrow. NBC has picked up a new show, Betty White's Off Their Rockers. The show is a senior citizen prank show that will be executively produced and hosted by White. Senior citizens will play pranks on younger people, all on hidden camera. In addition to the show, White will still appear on her show, Hot in Cleveland. Annenberg Radio News is launching a new podcast called Detours. It's a place for offbeat nonfiction radio. In our first episode, Emily Frost investigates a family mystery, a he said, she said story with an uplifting conclusion.
My eye got swollen. I couldn't drive the next day, so your mother had to drive.
I wasn't driving. I never drove.
To listen, go to the new podcast page on annenbergradio.org. And now we check in with Caroline Vandergriff to see what's coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision. Hey, Caroline, how are you today?
I'm great. Thanks for having me. Well, we have a jam-packed show tonight, lots of news today. ATVN attended an army funeral of a 19-year-old Santa Clarita resident who was killed in the Iraq War. Also, USC received some big donations, and we'll tell you more about that. And we have some exciting news for coffee addicts. Trogro will be open 24 hours starting Monday. We have the story at 6 p.m. tonight, or as always, you can check us out on the web at atvn.org.
Wait, Trogro, 24 hours starting on Monday? What's that all about?
Pretty exciting stuff. I know, I'm really excited. You know, you're studying at Levy, 3 a.m.,
exactly.
Want some coffee, and you can go to Trogro.
Nice. Well, thank you so much, Caroline.
Thank you.
And that's it for this Thursday. We had help today from Emily Frost, Laurel Galanter, and Carl Nickenig. Christine Tring is our producer. The executive producer is Jessica Flores. For all of us here at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Megan Dickey.